Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Advisor. Please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. Back with us today is Michelle Phillips, the Sedona's Healer's Healer. So she is an internationally renowned psychic medium, intuitive, and author whose DNA level healing work has helped thousands crack the cage open of the pain from the past. So she helps people step into radical freedom through her work. And I am so excited because today we're going to be surfing through heaven's doorways. Her son, Frank, who is in the spirit world, works with her. And after he left, Michelle went through a lot of different things, which she will share with us today. One of them includes taking her to the spiritual world to show her what happens when we leave this world. Stay tuned, buckle up. You're going to want to stick around for this one. Michelle, it's so nice to see you again.
Thank you. It's great to see you. You're so bright and shiny and
And
beautiful light.
I was
Makes
telling you
me
earlier,
upset.
you look beautiful. I love the blue. You always
Oh,
got
thank
these
you.
nice hats on.
Yeah, it's because I'm sensitive to electricity, so
That helps. It helps.
absolutely it does. Yeah.
You know what's
Wow.
bizarre is that whenever I wear a hat, I feel more secure. Could that be why?
Absolutely. And also everyone's energy. You know, if you see the old masters and gurus, they always have hats on. And it's
It's true.
because, you know, so they don't take everyone's energy into their crown.
Tomorrow
Because
when
when
I walk down the street, I'm gonna have the biggest hat imaginable.
it does protect you from taking it into your system. And
That
I
makes
feel
sense.
like the more expanded our consciousness becomes, the more our pineal gland, our connection to source, it's wider. And because of that, anything is like a filter. You know, anything that's hanging around can just come into you through that way. So
I love
through
it.
that doorway, yeah.
Yeah, you know what else I love is talking about the spiritual world. And today's topic is when I saw it, I got so excited. So you and your son wrote a book. Tell us about Surfing Through the Doorways.
Surfing through heaven's doorways. My son lived in Hawaii and he was like a surfer dude. You know, the ocean was his life. He said, ocean for him was meditating. It was his meditation. It was with God, you know, his way of being with God. Yeah. So when he passed, I was just so heartbroken, even though I've worked with people that have lost loved ones and children or whatever. I didn't know if I was going to get through it. And that night I was just sobbing. I was crying. And Mother Mary came to me and held me. And she said, I know what it's like to lose a son. I've lost mine. And she just held on to me. And then I got the information, received the information that Frank and I were going to do a book together. My experience, his, and all that. And so she gave me the title, Surfing Through Heaven's Doorways, because he was a surfer. And it's interesting because the week before Frank left, I was getting ready to go on a tour in Sweden. I go every year. And he had called me, and or the week before I left, and he was, gosh, Mom, look what an amazing life I've had. I've surfed all over the world, you know, and all the great places I've lived. And, you know, his daughter was. She was 12, was just his heart, his life. He was just reviewing his life and how amazing it was. And I was kind of chuckling to myself at the time. And I thought, I hope he's not getting ready to leave, you know, because as we leave, we review our life, you know. And I didn't know that he was, but I'm so grateful that we had that conversation because I know his life was one that was really well lived. He loved
Yeah,
it
he was
and he wanted
confirming
to
to
do
you
that
that he was
act.
happy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And he let me know that. Yeah. Great.
How did
Yeah.
he pass, Michelle?
He was given an antibiotic that he was allergic to. He was in the hospital. Frank was on dialysis and he went into cardiac arrest. I was in Sweden at the time. And then he came out of it It's interesting. My daughter and I were just talking about this because they put him into a drug-induced coma. And they said they didn't know if he was going to come out or what, when he did come out, if he's going to be okay. So I'm there, I'm holding his hand. My daughter's holding the other one. They're taking him off the drug. And he comes out and he was amazing. And he goes, "Where am I?" And we tell him, he goes, "Wow, gnarly." You know,
Yeah.
and then again, we're talking, "Wow, gnarly." And Frank had such a great humor. So we just immediately started kind of seeing the humor in the whole situation and what happened. So he was wonderful. He was great. And so he was in the hospital and we were all there with him. And I'm so grateful because we had about a week, almost a week to complete with him. I mean, everyone, you know. And his father, he and the father had never told each other, shared that they loved each other. So I'm in the room and his dad calls and he goes, "You know, Dad, us men, monk men," his last name was Monk, "don't share emotions much, but I just want to tell you how much I love you." And he goes, "Well, Frank, I love you too." You know, so it was just a wonderful completion. So then his doctor wanted to put a defibrillator in his heart in case anything happened. And Frank said he wasn't opposed to doing it, but he wanted to wait a little bit because he'd had allergies, all this stuff. And I talked him into it. And so they gave him, when he goes in to do it, they gave him an antibiotic he was allergic to. And the doctor, yeah, the doctor, I said, "But, you know, he couldn't breathe." The doctor said he couldn't breathe, you know, because the antibiotic. And I said, "That's what he was afraid of." And the doctor said, "Yeah, I know. But if I had to do it over, I'd do the same thing anyway." So, and of course, and then his wife, you know, we wanted to have an autopsy done and the hospital did not offer it. So we were trying to get an autopsy at other hospitals anyway. And the reason we did that is because a coroner didn't want to sign off on the death certificate, which is interesting. So then we're trying to get an autopsy done. No one will do it because they all work together, hospitals and all this. So then the hospital where he died, where he left, called us, said, "We understand you're trying to get an autopsy." And we said, "Yes." And they said, "But we'll do one, but it'll cost $10,000." So his wife did it because, you know, she wanted the daughter to know later on or whatever what was going on. And I went back to Sweden. And then when I came back, I just said to her, "You know, I will support you 1,000% in what you want to do, but I cannot be involved in a death suit, you know, against a hospital for the rest of my life." And the other part of me also knew it was his time to go. So wrongful death, yeah. So immediately he started making connection, which was
How? What was
interesting.
his first connection with you?
Well, when he after he passed, he said he didn't know he wasn't alive any longer, that he had gone down to the beach and he ran into a woman named Nancy. And I was trying to think who's Nancy, but I had a niece that passed away a few years before of cancer. So I'm thinking that must have been Nancy. So he said he came back to the hospital and then we were there with him. I mean, this sounds pretty traumatic, but with the body, we're waiting for my daughter to get back from the other island to come. And it was like he was just asleep because his presence was still so much there with us. And his wife said, "Do something, Michelle." So, I mean, it was immediately then that he started making contact. And then that night when she went home and told, you know, the daughter that her daddy passed, and she said, "Do you want daddy to come through us in numbers?" Because his wife's mother had passed and she started coming through in numbers. So, you know, Danila's daughter said yes. And Monica, the wife, said the phone was across the room. And all of a sudden, it just started blinking, blinking, blinking. This was about 1:30 in the morning. And they go over and it was 11:11, 11:11, you know. So he started coming through in numbers all the time. And with humor, really, you know, it was humorous, a lot of things that he was doing, yeah.
What a story. Oh my God. So he comes to you,
Yeah.
and then what? And then what was the mission?
I
Well,
know he wants to be with you and he's remaining in contact with you, but there's a bigger mission.
then I went back to Sweden. I was on my tour and I went back and I was so torn up. I didn't know if I was going to get through it. And I work with people, like I said, that have lost loved ones. I've counseled people. And as I look at it now, I think some of the stupid things I'd probably said to them, well, there is no death. I mean, I know that. And, still, it was so traumatic. So I was getting ready to do sessions and I thought, I don't even know if I can do sessions. And I'm tuning in, I open my eyes, and Frank is sitting, on the chair next to me, and he's laughing. So he immediately started making contact with this. And then I was doing an evening somewhere, and I was still torn up. So I go back to where I was staying, and I could hardly breathe. And I watched myself, I witnessed myself get up, and I was staying in this cabin across from this lake or whatever. And I'm watching myself get up and walk down to the lake, and I'm thinking to myself, who's walking me? Because I had no energy. And when I got down there, I just screamed. So I was able to let a lot of the old pain and energy out. And when I came back, I knew that I was leaving. So I left a note for whoever was going to find me, the next day. And I said, contact my brother in California, whatever. And so then I'm more in spirit, basically, than on the airplane. And I wake up the next morning and I'm like shifting, and my mother comes. And I always think, oh my God, if things aren't bad enough, now my mother's here, because my mother and I had a horrible relationship, And she said, Michelle, in her authoritative know-it-all voice, listen to me. It is not your time to go, She said, if you leave, your daughters and sister will not be able to get through this. And she stayed with me, and her energy was so different than mine. So she stayed with me, and then the last workshop I was doing in Stockholm, Sweden, I was taking people to the mother ancestral DNA, and then she shifted. So I realized she stayed with me to keep me in my body. But then in the workshops I was doing, Frank would just start showing up. It was incredible. And so he was standing next to me sometimes. And then I just pulled a chair next to me so he could sit next to me. And then people would say, I'd be taking people through a process. And they'd go, well, Frank said, and I went, what? So they could see him and feel him in the room also. It was powerful. And he started working with their hearts, clearing it out. And that's the work he does now with me, as a heart's map. Yeah, so he is incredible. Like, I want to say my best friend at the same time. So when I was talking to him later, he said to me that he'd always been around me as a child, when I was a child and growing up. So I had a very challenging childhood, like many of us have had. It's all the karmic stuff we agreed to go through. So I said he was always with me. And then I had him, I was young, I was 18, and he was my second child. And so he said, Mom, I knew what I was going to go through with you. It was so that lightened it up. So anyway, he immediately started making contact. And then the first Christmas, my sister came to Sedona to be with me, and she was leaving, and the lights out on my porch or lanai were on. And she said, oh, she must have accidentally turned them on. I said, there's no way you could have turned them on. You have to bend down and turn them on, So anyway, he had turned the lights on. And then she left the next day, lights on also. And then my daughter, he would turn her dryer on all the time, the noise of the dryer, how it comes on when the clothes are done or whatever. She'd turn it off. He would just always turn it back on. So he was doing so many things like that. And again, the numbers, we were seeing so many numbers. And then after it passed, I was buying this place and I was in this real estate office, and she had to go copy papers for something, and she's leaving, and she goes, well, easy peasy, into the other room. And she came back, and I said, do you ever say easy peasy? She goes, never. She didn't know where that came from. So Frank, that was what he's always say, easy peasy, and then I explained, and then she opened up about her husband's children that had passed, or whatever. So then that healing took place. But so he always made connections, and he still does.
I mean,
Yeah,
he's like,
I want to tell everybody about the connection in my apartment. We think Frank was in my apartment. So if
absolutely. Yeah.
for the listeners who haven't heard it, go back and listen to the episode where Michelle talks about karmic cycles and patterns. So that night, after you cleared my karmic patterns, I was laying in bed, and this picture on my wall that was from my past, which was securely on the wall. There's no way it could have fallen off the wall. It crashed into a light and broke this thing, and it was from my past. And so I messaged you, and I'm like, crazy shit's happening, Michelle. What's going on? And you're like, oh, that's just Frank being funny. And I
Yeah.
felt a presence that night. I felt
Yeah.
it, but I didn't know what it was. And then, so he's like, if we close this karmic cycle, we're closing it. So he got rid of that picture off my wall. And I'll tell you, Michelle, it's in storage. It's nowhere near my apartment now. So,
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah.
yeah.
He's really powerful. He's amazing. Yeah.
Yes,
So I know
incredible.
when he left, it was his time to leave, and our agreement was, he would come through me because I'm spiritual. I've had it my whole life, the connection, and go through all this. And he said he was in a refresher course down here that so many times when you're in spirit and you work as guides or teachers or whatever, healers, you forget what it's like to go through the emotions, what people really go through down here. So he said he came down through a refresher course. And so I knew when he left, it was his time to go. And even though I was torn up over it, the other part of me knew it was his time to go. Yeah. And immediately started making contact and working together.
Wow. Were you able to let that go, let that pain go, and just accept it? Because I know so many people out there suffer still. Like you said, that woman said she was going to suffer for the rest of her life. How were you able to let it go?
Because spirit immediately started taking me up into the higher realms when he left, and they were showing me, they took me into this crystal Jesus and Frank, into this crystal generator dimension, and they were showing me these huge crystals, and they were all color crystal inside of the crystals, and they were showing me that there's so many beings on the people on the earth plane now that are from other planets and other creations. So these generators in that dimension actually hold the frequency for them to be able to live on the earth plane right now, because the earth
Wow.
plane energy is pretty dense compared to the higher dimensions. So they immediately started taking me there, and they were taking me into the review room, like what it's like when you leave the earth. And they were showing me like the different religions or belief systems or whatever. So say if you're Christian and you leave, you're going to move into with your ancestors that have been Christian or whatever, and you hang out there with them until you feel like it's time to move on. And then you will move into the higher realms, into the review room, where there's no identity of Christian or Muslim or anything like that. Yeah. So Muslims, when they leave, will go into that a dimension of the Muslim dimension and their beliefs or whatever, meet with loved ones, family, and then when it's time, when they feel like it's time to move on, then they'll move into again the review room. So they were sharing that with me, which was really interesting. And then taking me into the review room. So going into the review room is like watching a movie, like a play. So as you're going through the review, it's interesting. It's not like, even if any of the old emotions are there, it's like they're just transmuted, like out of any of the pain or the fear. When you're reviewing them, they just move back into love. And so as you're reviewing, it's like a lot of it is the humor of what we go through down here, and showing us that what we're going through, like there are different classes we've gone through down here. And so if maybe your intention was to learn this or whatever, and you didn't, you just look at, okay, I didn't get that one. When I come back again, that's another class and what that I need to take or whatever. But it's just showing me that we're in this movie down here. And in the movie, we have the choice, if you want to be the director, the main character, an extra, producer, whatever it is. But if you're an extra and you don't show up in your life, then you're going to come back and do it again, go through whatever. So I say, do it now.
So how do you know if you've completed your mission? Like, how do you become the main character, and how do you know that you're not going to need to come back?
You have a choice whether you're going to come back or not. So being the main character is showing up in your life, going through the emotions of this lifetime. And as I've spoken before, the childhood, all the patterns we came through are in the childhood. We took on our parents, karmic stuff, they took on ours. So you're down here and you have all this emotional stuff. And so if you just put bandages on it, you don't want to go in and clear it, then you leave, you're going to have to come back and go through it again. I mean, you don't have to, but you're going to choose to because that's the soul's cycle here. But my experience is now so many people are waking up spiritually and people are, get me out of this pain.
Yeah,
Yeah, they
me,
want to,
hello.
yeah, they want to move into the higher of who they are. So, like I said, immediately they were taking me into higher dimensions. And then Frank also came to me after he passed us, having a lot of health problems. Intestinal and could hardly function. I was in so much pain. And he came to me and said, Mom, you need to forgive me for leaving. And I didn't know I needed to forgive him for leaving. But when he said that to me, it's like I could hardly breathe and I couldn't say, I forgive you for leaving. At first, it took me a while, like, because of the pain, the emotion that was there. So then, when I was finally able to say, okay, I forgive you, and going over and over it, this emotion and the pain I was carrying, the frozen emotion just started kind of pouring out of me. And I was okay then. I was able to get up and function again. So from the loss, those emotions, frozen stay in our body and system, but other things we go through too, like losses of divorce and losses of our goals in life or whatever, those create frozen emotions. Loss is loss. So the more a person's willing to go in and clear it out, when they go into the spirit world and they go through the review room, they're going to see how light, how much they have accomplished in this lifetime.
Yeah, people don't understand that the brain doesn't know the difference between actual loss and fake loss. Like, you can create these scenarios in your mind and your brain doesn't know the difference.
It doesn't, yeah.
And every single traumatic situation that we go to, it like grasps on. It's like an emotion is the size of your fist. It gets stuck in your body and then it
Frozen.
stays there. And then it
Frozen.
causes that dis-ease, the discomfort, like people walking around with chronic pain. It's all of these layers and layers and layers of trapped emotions in their body that are just screaming to be released.
It is, yeah. And usually, when they're in that kind of pain or whatever, they start looking for ways to heal. And unfortunately, many are on meds, but many others too. Let's start waking up spiritually. Yeah. It's a
Yeah, the
wake-up call
dark
for
night of the
people.
soul stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But now it's just so much easier to go through it. It doesn't mean that you don't experience the pain of it because we do, the emotions of it. But the other side is freedom and euphoric. And the more you clear out who we're not, the more you open up into who we are, which is spirit, having a spiritual experience down here.
Yeah, we're all consciousness.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an incredible
Crazy.
time to be here. Not an easy time, but an incredible time if we
Yeah,
choose.
that's a fact. I'm laughing because, yeah, it's not easy.
No, it isn't. Yeah. And yet, with as we're shifting dimensions right now, ascending, it's so much easier to go in and clear this out. I was talking to a friend the other day where these emotions, before they would stay with me or with others for quite a while. And now, like one day, you might be okay, down in the dumps or whatever, coming up, boop, next day, you're fine. So it's like this emotional roller coaster, but it doesn't last long like it used to.
Yeah, I feel like the duality of like what I go through is one day I'll feel so tired, all I want to do is lay down, and the next day, like you, like that, there's that euphoric feeling of just feeling so good. So those days where I'm feeling super tired, I'm like, okay, my body's downloading or up doing
Yeah.
something, But
Yeah.
it's not tomorrow. I'm going to feel amazing. So I almost like get excited about those times. And we also wouldn't notice feeling good if we, or feeling bad if we didn't have those ups and downs.
Absolutely. Like, how do you know the light if you haven't experienced the dark? How do you know the dark if you haven't experienced the light? There's one more thing I want to say about, I mean, many more things about Frank, but when he left, he was in Hawaii, so we had a Hawaiian service. He'd lived there most of his life, called a paddle out, where you take the ashes out to sea. And so I was in a canoe, and my daughter, but everyone was on surfboards. They went out. And then my daughter took the ashes down to the bottom of the sea, and everyone went down on their surfboards, I mean, off their surfboards. And so I'm in the canoe watching, and I'm like, oh my God, I watch him ascend out of the ashes. It was incredible. I'm going, oh my God, oh my God. So the picture I have on the book of him is the picture of him in white with a lei around his neck as he's ascending. And so I've always said Jesus is my main man. You know, he's been with me ever since I can remember. He's Frank's main man too. So when Frank ascended out of the ashes, I saw he and Jesus connect. And it was like, hey, buddy, you know, kind of, you know, fist bumping or whatever. Yeah. So then we had his celebration of life at the ocean there, and big tent, and people come by. Oh my God, there was just so much love. You know, is this a birthday party? We said basically, yes, it is. So his energy with the Christ energy, the whole team was just amazing. It was there for the whole service celebration. Yeah. Incredible.
I can picture that. That is absolutely incredible.
It is.
So what is,
I'm
no,
sorry, go ahead.
sorry, go ahead.
No,
No,
go
I was just
ahead.
going to ask you about surfing through heaven's doorways. So you guys wrote this book. What is the book about? And
Well,
did
the
he
book.
help you write most of it?
No, what he did, he was with me. So I was keeping a journal because I knew I was going to write a book about it. And some days I could keep the journal, other days I couldn't, you know, I was too torn up. But so I'm telling my experience of going through it. So it gives people permission to experience the emotions and what we go through that kind of loss. It's horrific, you know, and sometimes people think, okay, you lost one, what, a year or so ago, it's time to move on, you know. It doesn't happen like that. We go through layers of moving through the loss. Yeah. So, he was with me when I was going through it. And so I'm sharing all of our experiences together, what he was saying, what he was doing, and he and Jesus taking me into the higher dimensions. Yeah. So at one time I'm sitting there. So Jesus would always come and take me up there. And of course, I'd always ask, well, where's Frank? And he'd say, he's studying, he's doing something, he'll be here soon, you know. So they took me up to this dimension. And it was like if you're sitting in front of the ocean, but in se sitting in front of like waves of dimensions or colors. So I'm sitting there with them. I'm in between, you know, my two main men. And Jesus is showing me these crystals, not the crystal generator dimension, but another, you know, crystals in front of these waves of color. And he said, see those crystals? He said, that's the consciousness that's waking up on the planet right now.
Oh,
And so he'd
wow.
take me there. So now when I go there, oh my God, you can hardly see anything. It's just all crystals. So it seems like, you know, the planet seems like or what people are going through darker than it's ever been. But like the creator is saying, it's because the light is so bright now that you cannot see the duality of it in the higher realms. Yeah.
What are the different levels? Like you said, there's layers and dimensions. Like, how many dimensions are there?
I don't know, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
And so
You
what
know,
does that mean? Like, what does each dimension represent, or what could it be?
well, different frequencies. So like you have a soul that's a per, you know, a pretty high being of light. So after they go through, you know, reconnecting with the family or whatever, the review room, then they'll go into the higher dimensions where perhaps they're studying, you know, or coming home and a higher vibration so that they can work as a spirit guide, a teacher, or like Frank does with me, or to come back again, or whatever it is. So depending on what our frequency is the dimensions that we're going through. So then we're doing classes and learning and teaching or whatever. So it's just like being down here and taking a class and maybe graduating or whatever. So once you've got something there, then you shift into a higher vibration of yourself also. And every time you do, you connect to a higher soul group energy. So the other thing Spirit was telling me, as we're coming down here to the earth plane, many times because of what we've chosen to go through, our parents, ancestors, or whatever, we feel like the black sheep, and we've talked about this. We feel like we're actually the light sheep, the one that's in the family that's agreed to wake up, but we don't feel a connection to anyone. But then, as we're down here and we keep clearing out who we're not, moving into who we are, finding ourselves, we come together with our soul group. Have you experienced that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
So
recently.
then, you no longer feel the loss. You feel it at home, maybe not with your biologic family, but your soul group family.
It's like the feeling of wholeness, of pure bliss, because I feel comfortable on my own knowing I'm protected and loved, and there's no attachment to anything anymore, right? It's purely within myself, and getting direction from the team. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is, And then as you connect with others of like consciousness, your soul group on the earth plane, it's like you vibrate together. So it's like you don't have to explain yourself, you're just home and you feed each other. It's like plugging your light into a socket because they have the same frequency. Because Spirit says we cannot do this alone down here. We're down here, and it's only through relationships that we can heal and grow. And as we go through all what I call the karmic stuff, the lessons, then we come back together with our soul group and really shift together into the higher dimensions.
What I've noticed for myself is the closing of those patterns. And in other episodes, you mentioned being presented with the path. I'm now seeing the path. It's getting presented to me. I'm saying there's no way in hell. And I'm taking the path less traveled. And now, like, the things that are coming into my life are like an upgrade.
Yeah,
Like,
they
I don't know how
are.
else to explain it. And so I'm like at the park and I'm like, oh my God, like all of a sudden there's all these like attractive men around, And before it was like toxic men who were like trying to use me for my energy. And I'm just
Or when's
like,
my partner coming? And
yes, it's crazy.
It
Once
is an
you,
upgrade, yeah.
yes, that's what
It
it feels like. It's like
is.
the right things start coming into your world.
Because you're vibrating more with your higher self and spirit instead of vibrating in all the dense energy down here. And again, then meeting people with the same consciousness and frequency. Like I said, it's plugging each other into the light, and together we're ascending into higher vibrations. So in the spirit world, it's the same thing. Only up there, we're not going through all the emotions that we're going through down here. You're connecting to the love and total acceptance and love.
What are relationships like out there?
It's interesting because I had some friends, they're both in spirit now, and they knew each other since preschool. They were married and went through so much here with their kids and all that. And he left first, and then 2 years later, she left. And I'm watching as she leaves, and then I see them getting married up there. There's actual marriage ceremony, which was incredible. So we're coming back together. Like, I had another friend that passed, and all she ever wanted on the earth plane was her partner. Her partner, when's my partner coming? So then when she went home, there her partner was waiting for her. So we definitely have partnerships up there like we have down here, only they're love-based, heart-based, and not through all the stuff we go through down here.
They're not They're based on pure love and no attachments, I'm assuming. That need of them. It's not needing them, it's wanting. And yeah, that's crazy. Incredible.
It's amazing. So it's been an amazing journey with Frank, and it still is.
What,
Because
is he with you right now?
yes, he's always with me. So it's interesting when he talks to me, he's my spirit guide or best friend or whatever. He talks to me here. So I was giving this woman a session and she could really feel Frank. She goes, "Oh, he's on your right side here." I said, "Yes, he is. That's where he always connects and comes through."
Is it his voice?
Oh, absolutely it is. And his laughter. Because he had a great sense of humor. He didn't get caught up in stuff down here. Although he went through it, he could see that a lot of the humor in it, so he could kind of laugh at what he was going through. And it's because he was a higher being. At the time I didn't know that. I knew he was high, but So he had great humor, and he still has, Can really see the humor in what we go through. And he brings a humor back to us, assists us to move out of the emotions and into the higher experience of what we're going through and doing.
Incredible. Where can people find your book?
On Amazon. I'm not selling them myself any longer because they have to ship them and that's expensive and all that anyway. On Amazon, Michelle Phillips, it's Surfing Through Heaven's Doorways. And I wrote really
Beautiful.
give you the experience of what it's like on the other side. Of course, the emotions of what I went through. But every time I'm going through the emotions, the team spirit, Jesus, my mom, I mean, everyone is showing up and also taking me to the higher vibrations of it. And Mother Mary was around me a lot at that time. So she still is. But I mean, at that time, I was totally constantly supported. Now I'm on my own more. I kind of liked it back then better, but I mean, I'm still connected. But then, because of what I was going through, and they wanted me to experience the emotions and what it's like in the higher dimension, so they were constantly working with me. And what is interesting, I don't know how many years ago, I was in the Bosnia pyramids. And I was never really connected to Mother Mary. So I'm in the pyramids and I'm sitting there. And Jesus takes me through this dimension. And there's this large picture of Mother Mary, but it was a live picture. She was alive in the picture of frequency. So she came out of the picture and really connected with me. And then in hindsight, I thought, okay, he was connecting me with her, they were connecting me with her because when Frank left, she was going to be there with me and guide me through it and all of that. So before then, I always thought, well, Mother Mary's nice, but she's more with the Catholic Church. Where's my
Little
I know
did
she's
you
with all
know.
it was an interesting journey.
Wow, that's incredible. So you can call on them, but they just don't need to be there anymore. Is that what you're saying? Because they were
No,
helping you and holding you through that time.
they're still with me a lot. Like whenever I do sessions, they're always with me. Workshops are always with me. I mean, they're around me a lot. But at that time, because I was so heartbroken and they were teaching me, they were with me all the time, every day, taking me through dimensions or whatever.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Wow. So, where can people find more information out about you?
On my website, soulsawakening.com, on Instagram, and also Facebook, Michelle Phillips Souls Awakening.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for coming on here today and talking to us about what it's like to surf through heaven's doorways. That's incredible.
It's been quite a journey. And it's interesting because I work with, a lot of people that have lost loved ones, their loved ones come through me. So I am a medium. It's not something I ever thought I was going to grow up or do or be. It's just the gift that I've always had. And when I'm working with someone, a session or what all, I'll say, I can see the energy of someone that has passed that hasn't been healed. I can see kind of a gray energy in their nervous system. And I'll say, have you lost a loved one, that's on the other side that hasn't been healed or whatever, anyway. And always, 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 yes. And then what we're
So
able to
they're
do.
the person that they lost hasn't been healed. Is that what you mean?
No, they haven't healed the loss of the person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it shows up as a gray entity in their body.
A gray energy, not an entity, in their spine, their nervous system, like
Got it.
sorrow, gray sorrow energy, you know. And then
Okay.
I instantly, because I can see it's in the spirit world, I instantly know it's someone that they've lost that hasn't been, they haven't healed it with.
Wow, that's amazing.
So then what we do is bring the person through and they're able to complete with them and heal it.
In that
So,
moment, wow.
yeah. So one more thing I'm going to say. So our loved ones want to connect with us, you know, so the more we clear out who we're not, the more room we have where they can communicate with us. But if we're stuck in all that hurt and emotion, you know, they can't make the connection. So after my son left, I was in Stockholm doing this fair, and this woman came to me whose son had committed suicide. He was 18 years old. And she came to me the day that they found his body in the woods. He left a note, you know, or whatever. And of course, she was so torn up. So I worked with her and then I gave her my workshop as a gift. So last year when I was there, she came to me and she said, oh my God, she finally made a connection with him. So when I gave her the session, her son came down the path with Frank. You know, they're just light and happy and all that. And she could see it, but she couldn't believe it. You know, is he really happy or whatever? So she took a class on dowsing, you know. And so she comes and shows me, she goes, oh my God, look at this, Michelle. So she was able to connect with him through dowsing rods. So she goes, let me show you this. So I have assistants over there, you know, and so she's asking Anna, where's Anna? The rods go to Anna, you know. And then where's Frank? So she was dousing all these different questions. And then she goes, where's Frank? And came like he's standing right next to me. But her son, she said, communicates with her like Frank communicates with me through the dowsing rods, that she can feel his heart with her. And so there's so many different modalities of making connection with our loved ones on the other side. Gave her life back. Absolutely, it did. Yeah. She was
Wow.
so joyful and happy.
What would you say to all the people out there that are struggling right now with a loss?
Good luck. No, I'm joking. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be crass with this. You will get through it, you know, if you choose to. So many times, I mean, the first stages of the pain, it's just horrific. It really is. So you have different stages of the grief and the loss. But if you allow yourself to go through them, you're going to clear out and you're going to be able to make the connection more of a peace. I mean, Frank works with me, and yet I still miss him on the earth plane very much.
Right.
But, you know, I'm so grateful I have that connection. So there are so many people now that are also doing grief workshops. I have this friend in Sweden. I was staying with her when Frank passed. And then a year or so later, her brother passed. And she went into the grief, and now she's assisting people through these grief workshops because there's so many people leaving right now. Get help, you know, because everyone's going through it, the same kind of loss. And there are again stages that you go through. So if you're with other people that have been there and that are not wanting to stay in the pain or the loss of it, it's going to help you out of it. Do grief work, you know, with others that are. There's so many people that are doing this work now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you might, I don't know if you ever really get totally through it. I mean, you get through it. If you get over it, I don't know if you totally get over it, but you get through it. You do. And you can move on with your life. So at first with me, you know, I was going through all of the guilt and everything I went through with Frank and the loss, you know, the life, the things I should have done better. And then the more I started clearing out the grief, the more I started looking at the joy of our lives that we had together. You know, so the more you let go of the pain, like move through it, and it is step by step. You definitely will go through the anger, the grief, the loss, the guilt, all of it, you know. But if you're willing to go through it, what happens then? You start experiencing the magic of your life together. and how grateful you were to have this person in your life for so many years, or however short it was. Yeah. And I think I told you before, I was doing a session. I was doing some at this fair, and I was doing like 20-minute sessions or whatever. This woman came to me, and she had lost her husband 20 years ago, and she'd been in therapy and just could not get through it. So I said, okay, let's go back to the time that you lost him. So we go back into the grief and the loss, do soul retrieval. It's really important to do soul retrieval. So we went back into it, brought the part of her that left when he left, brought her heart back into her. And then he actually came with her and held hands. It took a bow or whatever. She goes, oh my God, in 20 minutes, I've healed what I've been in therapy for 20 years with. So there's so many different techniques now that can really help us move through the pain and the grief and the loss.
How do people get in touch with you about those sessions?
On my website, yeah, Michelle
Okay,
Phillips, yeah,
beautiful.
soulsawakening.com. Yeah. And I do a
Man,
lot
I
of
could talk
stuff.
about this with you forever. But
Yeah.
we're running out of time.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for being here today and for
Thank
taking us
you.
through all of that. It's one that I recommend people listen to over and over again because there's so much to understand about it and a lot to know. So yeah, it was
And
amazing.
what's interesting, when you hear it, when you hear a truth, it opens you up to it, because your body, your cells, your tissues, your organs know it. And so when you hear something, don't you experience that in your life now? I mean, when you hear something, your system knows it, and it just opens you up to the experience of it.
Yes, absolutely. Your
Yeah.
body knows. It recognizes what's true and what's not, and it
It
tells you.
does. Yeah, it does.
Yes. Well,
Okay.
again, thank you so much for being here, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
We'll
Blessings
see you
on your
soon.
journey. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, and to our audience, thanks for tuning in. You just heard from Michelle Phillips, again, this renowned psychic medium who can help you get your life back. Her website will be in the show notes for you for easy access. Until next time, everyone, take care.